Let me say I appreciate this great honor tonight to be here at Stony Fork Baptist Church. I thank God for this glorious singing, and I appreciate your pastor. I'm telling you what's truth. Brother Jeff, we go back a little ways over at Mount Sheba, back through the years, and we thank God for it. Glad to have my cousin here tonight, Charles Reinhardt. We've already let him know whether he liked it or not, we're claiming him, so amen. But Charles and I worked together at American Inca back in the 60s. So you know he's an old person. Amen. And it's good to see Brother Chris with us tonight. I appreciate Chris. I've had the privilege of being with him quite a bit in that paper mill down there. And what a time we've had. And I've enjoyed the fellowship with Chris, and he was always a joy. Thank God to be with and to be around. I want you to really pray that God will have his way this week. I didn't come over here. I don't expect a thing from me. I don't expect nothing good out of me. But I tell you what, I've come expecting something good from God. If anything is done, it'll be the Lord that does it. It was him that reached further down than we could reach up. It's him, thank God, that came to seek and to save that which was lost. It was him that came to me that night on number 13 paper machine about 1 o'clock in the morning, and God dealt with my heart one more time. And thank God I said, Lord, I ain't letting this one pass up. Thank God. And I didn't even know. Honestly, we didn't know nothing about the Bible. I didn't know there was 66 books in the Bible. I didn't know what I called it the book of Job, because I didn't know it said it was supposed to be Job. But I'll tell you what, that night, thank God, my heart changed, my life changed, and what a glory, what a joy it's been. While you're turning the book of Mark, chapter number 2, the day I retired in March of 2012, I got saved on a paper machine back in 1973, and my boys came to my retirement that day, and they had never been in that mill. They didn't know much about the paper mill. Had never been down there. They knew I worked there. And I said, we came in through the front of the mill, and I was taking them a little tour of the paper machines. And I said, boys, I said, I want you to go. I said, I want you to go with me. I said, here's where I got right with God in 1973. Those machines are gone. Chris, you've been in that old 13 and 14 room many times. I got in there where that old corner was, and I said, right here is where your daddy got saved. I said, this is the place. I said, God dealt my heart that night, and I said, you fellas have heard me tell about this for however many years, but I said, I just want to introduce you to where dad got saved. And then we stood around there a few minutes, and I wept and cried, and thank God my mind went back to 1973. And I said, if you fellas don't mind, just sort of step out there in the aisle a minute. And I said, I need to just sort of be alone for a moment. I knew that would be the last time that I would ever be on number 13 paper machine room. Probably as far as I know it, if I hope it is. I don't go back down there. I thank God for the job, but I knew that was going to be my last time that I'd ever get to go in there. And I just stood there a few minutes, and man, I remembered where God got me. And I remembered that night, Brother Bill. I remember how miserable I was, and I remembered, oh my goodness sakes alive, how close I had come time and time again of dying and going to hell. I'd almost drowned one time. A lifeguard had pulled me out. Been in all kind of junk down through the years, in and out of trouble growing up. But that night, thank God, my life changed. Amen. And so I just want to say I thank God for all that he's done. If there's anybody that never deserved it, it's me. Oh my goodness, when I look back at my life and I see where I've been and where God got me, and how Steve and myself, how God has blessed us, and every way we've turned. And thank God, it's just been a glorious journey. Amen. And I'm not at the end yet, but I guarantee you one thing, thank God they ain't going to be long. You said it right a while ago. He's coming. Amen. Stand with me if you will. Mark chapter number 2. I do appreciate your dear pastor asking me to come. I'd already had a burden. I didn't know where. God don't tell you every little move, but one day Brother Jeff called, and he said, I was wondering if you might have time to come and do a little meeting over at the church. And he mentioned the date, and I think you told me, said, look at your calendar and see if you got anything lined up. And I really didn't need to look at my calendar. Amen. But I said, okay, I'll look at my calendar. I looked at my calendar, and I said, I'm open that week. And thank God. And anyway, we hung up. And when we hung up, I cried around, shouted around that backyard a little bit. And I said, God, I'm so glad. Thank God. I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather be used for the glory of God. Amen. Our mother stays on Steve and myself all the time. Boys, you're just going to have to rest. You're going to have to rest. And I always tell her, I say, Mom, one of these days we're going to rest. Therefore, remain, therefore, a rest for the people of God. Amen. And that day I'll rest. But until then, thank God, Bill, I'm going to keep on marching. I want to just keep on serving the Lord, for the Lord. I just want to keep minding God. Amen. Matthew, or Mark chapter number 2, verse number 1. And he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, and so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. I'd like to speak to our hearts tonight on this thought. Tearing up a meeting. Tearing up a meeting. Or when God tears up a meeting. In the book of Mark chapter number 2, it's very familiar territory. Most people have heard this scripture preached, and when you go through this portion of scripture, you'll find there are so many sermons, thank God, that you could just light in and go on every one of them and just have yourself a ball. But oh my, tonight I want us to look in Mark chapter number 2, some of the events that take place in this glorious chapter, and what God does. And by way of introduction, we know that Jesus has left Capernaum, and he's come back to Capernaum, the city of light, and it's been called his headquarters. And they say that he was in Peter's house when this takes place. And thank God, as you look at this story, and the Bible said that it was noise abroad that Jesus was in the house. Now that tells me something. Thank God somebody must have been excited and let it be known that Jesus was here. Amen. I mean, when you come to church, you come for one reason. Is that not right? Thank God I come to see him. Him. Amen. I read about an old lady. She had studied the Bible and memorized the Bible. And she loved, I think it's in 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 1, I guess it is, Paul said, or John 1 says, that I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That a woman had memorized that verse and many others. And she would quote them as time went. And when she got a little older, and she couldn't remember a lot of the verses, but she could remember, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. And as time went on, she just lost a little bit more of it mentally. And finally she came down and she was laying on her deathbed, and her children were gathered around, and she was wanting to quote something from the Bible. And she looked around at those children, and she said, him. And they sat there and they looked at their mother. Thank God her life had been wrapped up, amen, in him. And when she come down to dying time, Brother Bill, thank God the only one, amen, the only thing she could remember in the whole Bible was him. Amen. When we come to church, thank God we come to see him. Amen. We come to meet with him. Thank God if he's not here. Oh, my goodness sakes alive. I mean, church would be no different than any other little organization. But thank God it was noise abroad that Jesus was in the house. Amen. And when Jesus is in the house, thank God there must be somebody that's going out there in the neighborhood and they're saying, you ought to come over to Peter's house because Jesus is there. Thank God you ought to come over. We're having some of the best meetings you ever seen in your life. And thank God they're just telling it everywhere. And it was noised abroad and the crowd come. And then the Bible said, and Jesus was preaching the word. I don't know what scripture he was using, Brother Jeff, but the Bible said he was preaching. It was not a seminar. He wasn't having no quiet little study. I looked up something on that a while back in one of the commentaries, and and the feller said, and Jesus was teaching. Thank God for teaching. I love teaching. But I like preaching.
Amen.
Amen. I got in on this thing, on some preaching. Amen. And thank God for the last 40 years, I have loved that preaching. But the Bible said Jesus was preaching. And while Jesus is preaching, thank God he's the only one there that knows what's getting ready to take place. And do you know every time you assemble up here at Stony Fork Baptist Church, you pray and you say, Lord, oh God, give us a service. Lord, that'll bring glory to your name. Lord, bless people. And Lord, do this and do that. Amen. And you prepare your heart like Ezra did. And you come on to church. But you don't know what's going to take place. You don't know what's going to happen. But thank God there's somebody there in the service that day. He knows. Amen. He knows what's getting ready to take place. And thank God he's a preaching. He's preaching the word. And the greatest thing this world's ever had. Thank God since Jesus went back is the preaching of the word of God.
Amen.
So, Jesus is preaching. And these four fellas, I don't know how far they live away, but they got a friend. And brother, they say, Jesus is in Capernaum. We know exactly where he's at. If it was Peter's house, he's at Peter's house. He's preaching down there. And there's that fella that's sick of the palsy. I mean, he'd been a crippled fellow for a long time. And they said, we got to get him to Jesus.
Amen.
And the word of God said that these four men, each one of them got a corner of that bed.
Amen.
Now, when you get four people and you want to do something, sometimes you have some confusion. Is that right?
Yeah.
There's an old fellow one time trying to move a piano. He was trying to get the piano out of his house. And there wasn't nobody to help him. This old guy come down the street and saw he's having a hard time. He walked up and said, hey, can I help you with this piano? He said, yeah. He started pushing. He pushed, and the other fella pushed. And that guy said to the man that was trying to get it out, he said, buddy, I don't think we're ever going to get this thing back in the house. He said, I ain't trying to get in the house. I'm trying to get it out of the house. It was one a pushing and the other was a pushing. They was pushing in different directions. But thank God here's four men. Amen. Because they knew. Each one of these men believed that Jesus was not only in the house, but Jesus was able. Thank God that Jesus had the power. That Jesus Christ, thank God. I believe they believed that he was God Almighty. They believed that he was the Son of God. Amen. And each one of them grabbed a corner. And brother, they started down the road. And they got down the road. I looked at this and I thought, you know, I worked at the paper mill for 42 years and we used to get that rope off paper machines. Chris, you got any of that? Old dryer rope, felt rope. We'd have a shutdown on the machine and we'd say to somebody on the machine, when you cut that rope, I want it. I've got it hanging in trees. At the house, I've got it in the barn. Down through the years, I carried a whole lot of that rope. But these four guys, if they had known that they was going to have to let this fella down, they'd have brought some rope. As far as I know, they didn't bring no rope. Because their plan was to bring this man through the door and get him to Jesus. But these four men, as they walked along, and there lays that poor old feller. Man, I mean, he's had this paralysis for so long. And these guys, every time they looked at him, I bet they said, boy, we wish we could do something about him. I wish we could do something to help him. Thank God they just got the greatest news that Jesus is in the house. And one of them said, boys, I know what we can do. Thank God, let's take this boy down there to the house and let Jesus do something. And brother, they started toward the house. And do you know what? They came to the door and started through the door, and they couldn't get in. This scripture is preached on about as much as Psalm 23. But they couldn't get in. What they could have said, well, what else are we going to do? This tells me us as Baptist folk, Christian folk, we keep trying to bring them to Jesus, and we run into all kinds of difficulties. I went and visited a fellow one time. He was in a bad car wreck. He's just about killed. And his name's Keith. And I said, son, I'm here to check on you. And I said, Keith, wouldn't you like to be saved? And he looked at me and he said, no. I said, you wouldn't want to know the Lord as your Savior? He said, no. I said, how about if I pray with you? He said, no. I said, how about if I just have a real quick prayer? He said, well, all right then. Anyway, I prayed with him and went on about my business. And next day, I got off work, headed back toward Mission Hospital. Walked into that room, and there's old Keith. And I said, Keith, how you doing? The head trauma subsided a little bit, and he said, preacher, it's good to see you. I said, Keith, I was over here yesterday, and I said, I asked you if you'd like to get right with the Lord. He said, yeah. He said, I would. I said, yesterday you said no. He said, preacher, I was out of my mind. Yeah. Amen. But old Keith, he got right with God. Well, what a glorious thing it was. What if I'd have said that day, I'd have went back to fellowship, and I'd have said, folks, I tried to get old Keith in, but he said no. I've done all I can do. Thank God these fellas, they run to a crowded door. Amen. Didn't have a rope. All of a sudden, one of them looked, and there's a set of steps going up the side of that house. And thank God they said, let's tell you what, let's do. Let's get up on the roof. And they went up on the roof of that feller. They still ain't got no rope. But they did have sashes on their girdles. And the Bible said they began to uncover. They began to tire through the roof. Jesus is just preaching away.
Amen.
He's doing like old Steve Reiner and old Jeff Massey's done for years. He's just preaching away.
Yeah.
You say, you think he's getting excited? Hey, he's the Son of God. Amen. He wrote that book.
Amen.
He's, you better believe he's excited.
Amen.
Thank God I don't believe Jesus ever just sort of talked quietly. I believe Jesus preached when he preached.
Amen.
But anyway, thank God he's just preaching away. And the crowd was in the door. They were in the windows and they was all around. And Jesus just kept on preaching. And brother, about that time, those four fellas took the sash off of their girdle and they tied it to each corner. And thank God they began to draw back. And begin to tire back. And brother, after a while, they got a hole big enough to let that feller down too. And man, there was people in there. They were scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, I guarantee you. Boy, there's a looking. And some dirt was a falling. Clay was a falling. I wonder what they thought. But hey, let me tell you, Jesus is just smiling the whole time. Just
Amen.
Preaching away. And so, this message I want to preach tonight is tearing up a meeting. You see, Jesus has never been annoyed with someone seeking his face. Jesus has never been annoyed with someone that wants to get close to God. Now, through the centuries or through the years, and I feel like I've been here centuries, but not hardly. But through the years, there's been a lot of things that's happened in church services. Some of them are comical. Some of them ain't. I remember I was at a fellowship in Waynesville when I pastored out there. Well, little woman, her name was Sister Phillips. Her son was the wild man of Cataloochee. He would not come out in public. People would carry stuff down there and they'd put it out, and he would come out and get it. She lived in a nursing home next to the church. The first time I ever remembered meeting her, She was standing outside the church. I've all bent over, and I said, Sister Phillips, I said, you need a ride home? She said, uh-huh. And I said, okay. I got her in the car, me and Margaret and them youngins, and I looked back and I said, Sister Phillips, where do you live? She said, I don't know. I rode down the road, went out to Old Elwood Road. We rode right about 30 minutes. I said, Sister Phillips, you see anything you recognize? She said, no. Finally, I remember there's a nursing home right below the church. So I went in there, and that woman hollered and said, Victoria, where you been? Said, we've been waiting on you. Now, I'm telling this for a reason. And Miss Phillips, if she thought she knowed you, she'd do this. And she'd move on to somebody else. And Miss Phillips, I was preaching away one Sunday. It was about 15 to 11 or 15 to 12, just having one of them good old times. And up and down the aisle, having myself a ball. And thank God I looked up in a few minutes. Here come Miss Phillips down the aisle. That church was built on sort of a slope. And she come, Bill, you've been out there. And she come down there. She'd all been over, probably in her 80s at that time. And she walked down through there. And there's an old fella sitting there by the name of Charlie. She walked up to old Charlie and she said, what time is it? He said, it's 15 to 12. She said, 15 to 12? My God. I said, don't nobody bother her. Amen. Just let her do whatever she wants. Thank God, if she thought she knows you, she'd just walk around there in the middle of service. She'd just look. And as an old fellow by the name of Howard, took me a long time to ever get him in church. And old Howard got right with God. And he wore him all, had him all overalls. And always carried that shoe in his pocket. And she'd come down through there and she'd say, you got any backer? She'd hold her hand out. Old Brother Howard would cut her a little chip off right there back her. And I'd watch her. She'd go back there and sit on that last pew. And I thought, man, I always thought, well, she wouldn't do that. But anyway, he couldn't because it embarrassed him. He didn't know what to do. Hadn't been in church long. I sure wouldn't go and insult him. And anyway, I'd watch her as the service had gone. First, she'd sit there like that, and then she'd... Then I looked, she'd be leaned over. And by the time the service was over, she'd plumb down the pew. So I decided I was going to go back there and see where she was spitting. We just put new carpet in church. I went back there and she hadn't spit nowhere. She'd been swallowing that Ambien. And by the time church was over, she is just dead to the world. Come down one Sunday morning, I stepped out in the pulpit and I said, Sister Phillips, God bless you. She said, I don't want to shake hands with you. I want to shake hands with Robert. But there's one Sunday morning. Service was going on. Miss Phillips got up back there. She come down that aisle again. Had them little old hands behind her. She come along through there and she said, Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And she just walked up and down, and she sung Amazing Grace. I got up, and I said, folks, stand up, stand up. Hey, man, I mean to tell you, God come on the scene that morning. Miss Phillips that had asked for the backer just all didn't know where she lived. But thank God that Sunday morning, she come down through there singing Amazing Grace. Inspirations couldn't do it as good. Thank God these fellas down in Hominy Valley couldn't do it as good. Oh, Miss Phillips, she sung Amazing Grace. And I said, folks, everybody get to attention. And about that time, the Holy Ghost blowed in that place. And Brother Jeff, amen, all of a sudden the walls erupted. And people began to shout that hadn't shouted all their lives. People began to cry that hadn't cried all their lives. I mean, brother, you talk about tearing up a meeting. Thank God the Holy Ghost come on the scene that morning. Brother, he moved on an old woman. Don't even know where she lived. She done gone to heaven now. But thank God that morning she is singing Amazing Grace. Amen. We shouted around there for, Lord, I don't know how long. But some of them are sad. Things that have happened around the church. One Wednesday night years ago, I probably pulled that all over me. I'm glad I didn't eat strawberry. One Wednesday night, I went to church early. My wife was going to be running a little bit late. So I went on out to church and we'd sung and made announcements and had a prayer. I was just getting started. About that time, my wife come to where, like, you've got double doors there. I didn't have two double doors there. And she come and she looked at me and she said, come here, man. And I'm trying to be spiritual, too. What? What? What do you want? She said, come here. Now you can tell when your wife really wants you to. Right? She said, come here. I figured the best thing I'd do is just go on. I said, ladies and gentlemen, excuse me for just a moment. I walked down that aisle. She said, preacher, said the sheriff's department just called. My heart got about ready and I said, which one? Said, I have four kids. Preacher's first thought is which one of them's in trouble. I mean, you know. She said, it's not our kids. She said, it's Daniel. I said, what do you mean? She said, Daniel fell 80-some feet over yonder at above Catalucci, or above Western University of Carolina. Him and his little girlfriend. She fell. She got on them rocks up that cliff and got her little old feet wet, and she put her foot down, and she fell 80-some feet on her back, and of course killed her. Daniel dove for her. When Daniel dove for her, he come off 80-some feet and landed on his face. I went back up to that pulpit, and I said, folks, I said, please, I said, I hate to end this service, but I've got to go. I said, Daniel has just been killed, getting ready to graduate, doesn't have a job as a band director down east, and man alive, only child. I'd pastored him since he was 3 months old. Man, I remember that night when I went to their house, and me and Don had went to school again. I went to their house that night and witnessed old Kathy, and she said, preacher said, we'll be there Sunday. And from 3 months old till he is a senior in college, I was his pastor. He spent time at our house. Our boys spent time at his house. And I said, I've got to go. And I had to go down to their house and wait for them to be brought back. And brother, when they come, and they was in a sheriff's car, because they went off down in our trap fishing. And anyway, old Don, he got out of that car and said, kill us, what are we going to do? And Kathy, she said, preacher, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to, oh, I know we was going to pray. And they said, will you stay with us? I said, I'll stay with you. And brother, in a little while, we had to go to Jackson County to the hospital. And Don had to go in there and identify his own son. Don was wounded 3 times in Vietnam. He said, I've seen people cut in half with machine guns. He said, I've seen people's head blowed off. He said, I've seen all kind of stuff. And the doctor said, but sir, you ain't never seen nothing like this, because it's your boy. And he come back out and he said, the only way I could tell it was Daniel, because he had a birthmark right here. And he said, it's Daniel. Anyway, we come back, and man, I stayed a little while longer. I left finally about 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock. Don't remember what time it was. I was supposed to go to work, and whether I went or not didn't matter to me. But I was going home and driving up the road. I just had to hold it together, because I couldn't break down. Because there's that mom and daddy. There's that grandmother and grandpa. It's our only child. Anyway, I got in that old car and I started back up toward Radcliffe Cove and come up through there, and I didn't realize it, but I was bawling my eyes out. Oh, my goodness, my heart was broken. And all of a sudden, the blue light come behind me. It's 4:30 in the morning, and I pulled over, and a cop walked up there, and he said, preacher, is that you? I said, yeah. He said, what are you doing out here tonight? I said, well, I just left the Ledfords, and I said, Daniel's got killed. And boy, he just started bawling, and I was bawling. I said, how come you to stop me? He said, you was weaving all over the road. He said, I thought it was some drunk. I said, no. I said, my old heart's broke. I mean, there's been all kind of stuff in the church world, like all down through the years, that has tore up services. I mean, brother, that just changed the direction of everything. Oh, man, that's what happens in Mark chapter number 2. These people are sitting there listening to a sermon by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. I ain't saying they're enjoying it, but brother, they're hearing him preach. And all of a sudden, here comes an old boy down, thank God, down to the ceiling. Amen. One of the greatest things ever happens in a church, hey, is when the Holy Ghost comes in. And thank God, he just rolls everything else back. Amen. He begins to touch hearts, and God begins to speak to folks. And boy, I tell you what's true. Jesus looked up. Here that old boy is. It don't say Jesus ever finished his sermon. Peter was preaching one time in Acts chapter 10. He was preaching in Cornelius' house, a Gentile. And he got to verse 43. When he got to verse 43... that's his last words he got to say.
Amen.
Yeah, all of a sudden, the Bible said the Holy Ghost came upon them all. And brother, when the Holy Ghost came upon them all, these are Gentiles in the beginning of the church age. God said, not only can Jews get saved, but Reinhardt's can get saved. Thank God, Bryson's can get saved. Amen. Thank God. Hey, brother, about that time, the Holy Ghost took over. And brother, they were filled with the Spirit. And brother, all of a sudden, they began to praise God. And you say, what did Peter do? He never forgot that experience. I guarantee you, thank God, the best services you ever. And I'm going to tell you something. Preaching is just the main cog in the church. Thank God it's very, 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 it's not all so important. It is so important. But thank God, isn't it wonderful to know, amen, that the Holy Ghost, thank God every now and He'll come on the scene. He'll touch some old brother or sister. Thank God sitting back yonder somewhere, and brother begin to flood their soul. And the next thing you know, thank God they're waving them old hands. Amen. I got a little old lady, I pastored her since I was a boy. Her name was Miss Willits, or is. They came here from Wilmington, North Carolina, and they had gone to this church, and they decided they'd move to the mountains. So they bought up a business. Well, by the time they got ready to move, the pastor had resigned, and he had a 24-year-old kid, me. They come to church, and I went ahead and preached. She said, "You worry me." I said, "What's the matter?" She said, "You're going to have a heart attack."
Bless you, Mom.
She said, "I ain't never seen nobody act like that." I said, "You think that's something you'll see said under my brother's preaching?" Thank God. I said, "He just about jumped from here to the door." And she said, "I don't think I can handle this." I said, "All I know is you'll find one that does what you want." She said, "No." She said, "You're awful young." Little boy, Grandma told me this morning at church, she said, "Connor really likes you. It's his first service last Sunday morning. He said, 'Cause you're old. And he likes you." Hallelujah. Sometimes it pays to have that. But anyway, I said to Miss Willits, I said, "Well," she said, "I'm old enough to be your mom." I said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. I said, I'll just start calling you mom and you call me your son." I said, "When supper's ready, call me and I'll come and eat." Now I go see her. Her husband died. She still lives in Clyde. Wife takes her places that she needs to go. And I asked her a while back, I said, "Nancy, do I look like I'm your pastor now?" She said, "Preacher," said, "you feel the bill now." Amen. But you see, tearing up a meeting, Peter didn't get annoyed when the Holy Ghost came on the scene. There was one time in Acts chapter number 3, there's no one been brought to the gate called Beautiful, the temple gate. Every day. And Peter and John come by. And the Bible said immediately his ankles received strength. And he got up and he was shouting. Yeah. Woo! 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 I believe, brother, he's hit in the high spot. Woo! Woo! Inside the temple, the rabbi, he's getting her done. He's telling them about the Old Testament. He's telling them about the Decalogue. He's going through Moses. He's going through it all. All of a sudden, thank God, here comes an old boy through there. He's a shouting and he's a praising and he's a jumping. Amen. And I don't know what the rabbi done, but the Bible said he went in with Peter and John. You see, what you think is it doing? If they wasn't shouting, there's a egging him on.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
You see, we come to church. I've had folks tell me, a preacher told me a while back, he said, "I'm going to tell you something." He said, "If that crowd shouts for 2 hours," he said, "they're going to stay two more because I'm going to preach 2 hours. I said, "Well, whatever." But I said, "There's been times, Jeff, you've been this way. You come prepared. You spend your week studying, praying, seeking God's face. When you get to church, but you, there's something else you can tell."
Amen.
Thank God.
Amen.
It just begins to feel rich.
Amen.
And all of a sudden, somebody begins to testify. Somebody else will say, "I got a song." And the next thing you know, brother Ray's just people jumping up everywhere. Thank God, and God's come on the scene. And amen. And the old preacher, he just sitting there hollering, "Woo, woo, woo, woo." Thank God. It wasn't that he didn't want to preach. But man, let me tell you, when God tears up a meeting, I'll guarantee you one thing, brother, it'll go just right. God Almighty knows what each one of us need. God knows every move we need to make. And brother, these times that I've been preaching, and somebody would come up after the service and say, "Preacher, I thought you'd never quit. I need to get right with God." And I said, "Hey, you should have come on. Thank God I'd have quit and prayed with you, and I'd have preached some more if that's what God wanted."
Amen.
But there's been some things that happened in church that was not funny, was not sad, but was annoying. Used to have a young man, he was 16 years old. As far as I know, he don't even go to church no more. He's disowned God, disowned the church, everything else. But he wore them log chains, you know, back in the 80s. Well, you know back in the 80s, don't you? You know back in the 80s. And he'd take that chain. He'd sit there and he'd rattle that pew all through that service. I come in one Sunday morning. He's sitting there. I'm talking about 16. I ain't talking about no little boy. He's sitting there playing a game. I said, "What you got there, son?" He said, "I got me a game." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Well," I said, "the church starting a few minutes." I said, "Give that to your mama. Let her put it in her pocketbook." He just kept playing. I said, don't play in church." His mama looked at me and she said, "Preacher, said he's brought that just in case he gets bored." Well, you're preaching. I started telling her, "Honey, you ain't the first one that ever got bored of my preaching. I don't bother me." But I said, "If he gets bored," I said, "let's get him in the altar and let him get right with God. But put that thing in your pocket." Amen. That was a disruptance. That was something that tore up that meeting. But it was not a good thing. But when the Holy Ghost comes on the scene, thank God. I've seen time when people would get up and somebody would testify. And the next thing you know, thank God, there's a shouting all over the house. You say, why? Because God, the Holy Ghost, came on the scene. These fellas, they let him down. Jesus looked up and saw their faith. James chapter 2. He said, "Show me your faith by your works." The world can't see your believing faith, but God can. But Brother Jeff, the world can see our acting faith, our saving faith. Jesus saw their faith. Somebody said it was a vicarious faith. You see, before they left home, they'd already agreed that Jesus could do it. And this old boy must have went along with it. He couldn't have fought him off. But brother, Jesus wouldn't have said what he said if this fellow hadn't had something to do with it. And he could come down and Jesus said, "Son, thy sins are forgiven thee." And everybody sat around there and they said, "What? This man's got the palsy." I got a little blind girl. She lives over in Black Mountain. Her name's Kim. She's from down on Rabbit Skin in Haywood County. And Kim, she's blind, and she was raised at the School of the Blind. And Kim, you can say, she'll say, "Brother Ken, what's your birthday?" I said, "It's July 11th, 1949. I see her a year or two later. She goes to another church, but she comes to our church quite a bit. And she'll say, she'll hear me coming. She'll say, "Ken Reinhardt, July 11th, 1949, brother." Can't say a lick. I asked one day, I said, "Kim, wouldn't you like to see?" She said, "No, no." She said, "I see all I need." Hey, ain't nobody in the world but her and Jesus. I tell them, "Bill, are you one a while ago?" Amen. Thank God when she's out at the church, as far as she's concerned, ain't nobody there but them. Amen. Amen. We used to have an old woman, and this may be story time, I don't know. But thank God when you go to church, isn't it wonderful to be associated with folks come from all kind of walks of life, all kind of backgrounds, all kind of social levels, all kind of intellectual levels, and all that stuff. And thank God, God puts us all together and we become one in Christ Jesus. Yes, don't matter if you're a big shot, little shot, no shot, thank God. Don't matter if you know how to spell your name or read your name on box cards. It don't matter. Thank God we all come together and we're here to worship Him.
Yes, sir.
Boy, I tell you what, you'd be a preacher along every name now and then. Her name was Georgie Setzer. Old Georgie Setzer, she would sit way back in the back. She'd go, "Woo!" And every time she'd do that, I'd watch them people and they'd go, I'd egg her on. And old Georgie, boy, she'd shout for 15 minutes. They called me a few years ago and said, "Preacher," said, "we're going to throw these old tapes away when you was here." Said, "Would you like to have some of them?" I said, "Well, I don't care much about them." But I said, "My boys would like to have them, my kids. I get them for them." They brought me a bunch of them. I had one in my truck. And I was preaching right away and all of a sudden I heard somebody in the background, "Woo!" I said, "Go get them, Georgie." Thank God old Georgie done gone home. But oh, more times than one. You say, "Preacher, why would she disturb a service?" She weren't disturbing the service. She is a mind in God. And brother, there's a difference. She is doing what God touched her heart to do. Amen. God flooded her soul. God filled her up good. And the only thing she knew to do, thank God, before she blew the fuse, was to go ahead and praise God. And brother, she'd shout and holler. Amen. And people would look Thank God. I said, folks, amen, if you ain't going to help her, at least be quiet a minute. Thank God. Let me hear what she's doing. He said, what's the matter with you? I love it. We was raised up under old Zeb McDarris, and all we ever heard was shouting and preaching. Thank God. Wouldn't take nothing for it. But turn up a meeting. And I was making fun of Steve a while ago, and I've lost my glasses. Amen. Let me hurry real quickly, and I'll try to close this, because there's a few things that I want us to notice. First of all, in a church service, the need is greater than finishing the sermon. The need is greater than finishing the sermon. And that don't mean that you won't do anything to disturb this man while he's a preaching. But brother, if the Holy Ghost moves, he won't count it as being disturbed. Because I'm going to tell you something. We study. And I was in South Carolina a week or two in a revival. They called me about a month ahead just like you did, man. The time I got there, I was a nervous wreck. I had been to this church one time a long time ago. Anyway, I went and I said, Lord, I don't know. These folks here, they've had some real high-class preachers in this church. And I said, Lord, I don't know if I'm going to be doing anything for them or not. And boy, I'll tell you what's the truth. Thank God all I know to do, I said, Lord, help me to be me. If they don't like it, they can vote me out, thank God. But I just got to be me. And I went down there, and boy, we had the best time you ever seen in your life. You say, why? Because, brother, let me tell you something. Thank God there were some folks that come along, and they said, preacher, we need to pray. Preacher, we need to get a hold of God. We need to get a hold of God. We want God to move among our church again. And brother, let me tell you something. The need's greater than finishing the sermon. And thank God, brother Jeff, he studies, and if he's got a three-pointer, he wants to get them all in there. But sometimes when the Holy Ghost, I'm talking about the one, thank God, that has birthed us in the family of God, the one that convicted us, the one, thank God, that converted us, the one, thank God, that seals us unto the day of redemption, the one that is our guide, our comfort, thank God, our liberty maker, you name it, that's what he is. Yeah. But brother, when he begins to move on men's hearts, oh my, and brother, they begin to move for the glory of God, if it's come to an old altar and get saved, I guarantee you, that preacher will stop long enough, thank God, to get them, help them get saved, and then to shout with them a while. The need is greater than finishing the sermon. The second thing I want to say before I close, not only is the need greater than finishing the sermon, but the one with attention, with the need, is the one that gets the attention. That's the one that gets the attention. I have a sister, well, me and Steve, I've got a sister. She's in bad shape, she's in ICU. I went over Saturday night, they called, said, her daughter said, Mom's in the hospital. Went up to the ICU. Her blood pressure was down to 55 over 44. I ain't no doctor, but I know that's pretty low. I hung around her a little while. Told her how much I loved her. I went on to the house. And got up early that next morning. I went right back to that hospital. Walked in that ICU room. I said, Linda, you feeling any better? She said, no, son, I'm sick. I'm bad sick. I said, Linda, I've been praying for you now. I love you. And I looked up at that screen and got her hooked up to, and it said 65 over 43. I said, Linda, your blood pressure's coming up. In a few minutes, it got up to 88 over 41. Nurse come in there. I said, her blood pressure's coming up. She said, yes, it is. Oh, my. I said, Linda, I said, God's touching you. My goodness sakes alive. But let me tell you something. I called her this morning before I left for church. She said, son said, Mom called me last night. And told me she loved me. I said, she did. She said, yeah. I said, that's good. She said, they say, there used to be seven of us, now they ain't but five. And they say that Linda's mom's pet. And I said, Linda, why you get tore up? I said, I'd say, thank you, I am. So I was telling Steve, we talked early this morning before church. And I said, Mom called Linda last night and told her good night, and she loved her. She was praying for her and told her good night. And Steve said, she ain't never called me and said good night to me. I said, come to think of it, me either. Amen. But what I'm getting at is this. I said, Mom, Linda told me you called. She said, I did.
She said, "Sons, I hope you understand." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Linda's one sick. She's one needs attention right now."
Amen.
I said, "We're not jealous. We're just aggravating you." It'd be awful for a preacher to get jealous with. But I said, "Mom," I said, "I'll be there. I just live about a mile and a half away from the hospital." I said, "Steve can't come as often, but he'll be there. Barbara will be there." And I said, "Mom, if you need to be there," I said, "I'll come and get you. And I'll take you." She said, "Son," said, "we got to get Linda better." You see, the one with the need is the one that gets the attention. You may be that person tonight. You have a need. You have a need in your life. It may be a closer walk with the Lord. It may be a burden that you're carrying. But you're the one right now. God has got God's attention. My mama said to me, "Chris," she said, "Son," said, "you know I love you and Steve as much as I do, Linda." I said, "Yeah." Amen. And I know she does. We got another sister. She's waiting on a knee replacement. Got heart trouble. I'm going next month to get my heart, a few things checked on it, and it'll be my turn to have her call me and say good night. But I don't want to go through heart trouble to get it. Amen. But what she said, "Linda's sick and she needs our attention. Our God says so-and-so, they got a need." And the Holy Ghost is just, oh, he's got his arms around you. And brother, he's touching your heart. And he said, "Why don't you just move tonight? Why don't you let me have that need? Why don't you lay it at my feet? Thank God, you're the one tonight." In all of this, God has got his arms around you.
Amen.
And he's touching your heart. He said, "Why don't you just go ahead? Why don't you just come down here?" You say, "Preacher, what if it was coming right now?" Thank God, I ain't got one more point, and we'll forget that. Amen. Oh, my goodness sakes alive. And last of all, the one that is able to meet that need, he's ready. They did not take Jesus by surprise. He knew their boys was coming, and he knew that fellow was coming down. I can almost see them as they looked down through that hole. Now there were four faces. And here come a bed with a crippled fella on it. And four faces is looking. And one of them said, "Boys, we've done all we can do now. We've went as far as we can go. It's up to the master now." And Brother Bill, the master, is ready. And he looked up and called him son. There's something special about son.
Praise the Lord.
Thank God. My grandma used to call me son. I love that. She's 101 and a half old, years old. She was dying in a nursing home. She said to me, I went over and I put my little old big old ear down there and I wanted to hear what my nanny said, and she couldn't get it out. And Brother Jeff, I thought one of these days when I get to heaven, I'm going to say, "Nanny, what was you trying to tell me before you come home?"
Amen.
You say, "What are you going to do then?" I'm going to do like I've done for a long time. It's going to take me a spell.
Amen.
Thank God, but then I ain't going to wire out. Amen.
Amen.
But you see, tearing up a meeting, when God tears up a meeting, before Jesus ever spoke to this man, the Holy Ghost is already touching him. So if you're here tonight, you're the one that's got that need. It ain't worth carrying. This is the place, this is the time. Because Jesus looked up. Didn't catch him by surprise. He said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." I had an old lady call me one night. She said, "Preacher," her name was Mrs. Frady. And she said, "Well," she said, "I just got jumped on." This was Sunday night after church. I said, "Miss Frady, who'd jump on you?" She'd say, "Well, so-and-so." And Miss Frady would shout every service. She'd shout. It didn't matter if it's Sunday night, Wednesday night, Chris. It didn't matter to Miss Frady. She'd just shout. You might remember Miss Frady. Walked real straight because her back had been broke so many times. She'd walk down through there and tell how good God was to her. Anyway, well, after she got home, and one of the old ladies that lived, that come to church too and lived in the neighborhood, she said, "You make me upset." She said, "Why?" She said, "You are shouting like that." She said, "You just trying to impress that preacher. You just want him to think you'll shout." She said, "Let me tell you something." Said, "I was a shouting before that boy was ever born." She always waved a hand when she was laying in the coffin. I had the privilege to do her funeral. I reached over, I just want to touch that hand. I figured that thing would be so limber. Because you see, God had touched her and God had blessed her and God had used her down through the years. But brothers, she is like these fellas. A little difficulty didn't stop them. They said, we've got to get him to Jesus.